Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, as always. We open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the true and living God who has come to us this day and granted us a mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my brothers and family, let me say to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform, bar none, for truth on the web. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, This Is It. We are living in the reset. Now, I want to talk to you all, and I want to thank those of you who support the platform and who have supported the platform as long as you've known about the platform. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Almighty God for allowing the vision to come to into fruition, and I'd like to thank Allah for blessing me to meet and to befriend brothers and sisters of like mind. I really, really thank you. Sometimes I don't thank you enough, but I want you to know that without you all, the show would not go on. Without you all, we could not progress. And thank you so much for everything that you do, whether it's words of encouragement, whether it's donations, whether it's letters, whatever have, whether it's emails. I want to thank you all right here, right now, because this is a beautiful ride to have our eyes open in this day and time and to embrace the Lord of the worlds and his messenger and the message that they gave to us. This is a beautiful time and a beautiful ride for us all, and we got to stop taking this stuff for granted, because before you know it, it's gone and it's over with, and we're in something else. So we have to reappraise things. We have to reevaluate our standing in life. We have to go through a lot of things, and I just want to take the time out right now, right here. If I've never said it before, I'm saying it right now with all my love, all my passion, and all my heart. Thank you all for supporting this platform. Also, we have a new platform, which is called the Red Pill Diaries. And right now, I'm perplexed. I don't know whether or not to do the show just for members only tonight with Gregory Manorino, or to just broadcast it over Periscope, over Twitch, over YouTube, and then cut the video up later or whatever. I'm perplexed right now. But we'll see how it goes. And if we don't broadcast it as a public offering, it'll be for members of the Red Pill Diaries, and they'll be able to see or be able to interact or whatever like that. And I'll send the link out if we decide to do it that way. But for those of you who are listening, please join the Red Pill Diaries on Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheRedPillDiaries, The Red Pill Diaries. Go to YouTube and subscribe to The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, because there are other shows up there similar to that, but The Red Pill Diaries, all one word, okay? Now, as the intro of the show was on, I was moving books around, and you may hear a lot of noise in the background because we are homeschooling, and my wife took my office area right now, and so I'm in the dining room, so you know this is where all the traffic goes through. So you will have to overlook the noise in the background and maybe laughter, maybe a whole bunch of noise coming through. But I did not want to postpone this whenever they allow us to get on the air to do the Star and Crescent Report. I want to get on the air and do the Star and Crescent Report. But as I was saying to you all, as the show was coming on, I was moving books around, and as always, the law shows me certain things. And I've moved the mother plane around, and then I was moving Fall of America around, and then my Our Savior Has Arrived opens up, and I take a look down, and I see something. It caught my eye, and I flipped the book over, and I said, no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to get right to the economic collapse. I want to get right to the military buildup. I want to get right to these things. But my eye just kept going down to a particular sentence in the book. And so as the intro was winding down, I said, here we go again. I got to talk about this. I got to bring this in, and maybe it will pertain to what we are talking about, because brothers and sisters, we are in a time unlike any other time before, and I believe this is very pertinent to this time. On page 44, Our Savior Has Arrived. At the beginning of the book, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, in the first full paragraph, which is only two sentences, right? He says, we must know ourselves. We must know the nature of life. We must know the law of life before ever we can say that we are masters. Now, what does this have to do with the situation around the world and the situation in America? I see that some of us are still not recognizing the time. And listen, if you don't understand the time and what is to take place in this time, you are lost. I don't care how much you promote black empowerment. I don't care how much you promote black independence or separation. If you are not aware of the time, you are putting yourself and those who would hear you in jeopardy, because you're still not understanding your life, your position here in life, right? And you're not understanding the nature of life. Let me give you an example. I'm going to tie all this into the economic collapse. I got the clips waiting. I got all this. But in life, some of us hope that people can be other than who they are. You know, I'm going to share something that took place with me a few days ago, okay? I'm going to share something with you. You know, my family and I, we're big into martial arts, you know. I've been in jiu-jitsu, judo, taekwondo, a little kickboxing, a little Muay Thai, Yoshikai karate. I'm getting into Cali stick fighting. I've just got done with Nabard combat, which is a modern version of Kung Fu. I used to always tell my, because we were the only black family there, and I would always tell my kids, my children, no matter how everybody smiles at you, no matter how much they embrace you, always remember who you are dealing with, okay? Always. Because if you lose sight of who you are dealing with and you start taking people who are other than you as close friends, then you are setting yourself up for disappointment, failure, and disillusionment. I always tell them that, right? So the other day, you know, we suffered from COVID. We had been out of action for a while. And we go back to Nabard. And I noticed something was funny there. And I had already prepared my children for it. I told them, I said, listen, I don't feel like it's going to be right today. You know, we black people, we've been out for a while. You know, everybody else misses it a little bit. But they'll go for a week or a month or sometimes even years and come back. Now, this has everything to do with what we're living. The reset, I want to lay a base for you, okay? So pay close attention to me. So we go back in there, and I noticed the people who normally are rockers and loud, they all of a sudden they walk to the other side of the academy, all of the other side of the academy. And I noticed that the master of the academy, he was talking to two people, then he comes over. He couldn't look me in my eyes because I had been texting him, and he didn't respond. The only time he would respond is when he wanted something, if he needed something. And so he comes, he couldn't look me in my eyes. I said, Master, who are you talking to? You need to look me in my face. What are shouting about? He's mumbling. I say, speak up. Now, here it is. You're a master of an academy. You can't speak up. You can't look me in my face. Because I'm a straight shooter, black man and black woman. Let me tell you, anybody knows me, know that I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to look you in your eyes. I'm going to tell you what it is. And it is what it is, whether you like it or not. Anybody knows me to tell you that. You know, that's just the way I was brought up. You know, and I don't think they make men and women like that too much no more, you know. This has everything to do with the situation that is going on in America today, and this has everything to do with the situation that is going on around the world, so pay close attention to what I'm saying. So, and I don't have to share this with you, but I'm doing this because I want you to understand how the time is. We go, no matter what we're talking about, we always are revolving around the time and what is to come and what must be done, okay? Now, so he was mumbling. He couldn't even get up to, you know, the agreement that that you had with John and Walter, who were my first two instructors. And I had passed the level of, when you pass the line one, you're pretty much a semi-master or something like that. So my children and I, we're on line three, right? And he says, the agreement that you had with John and Walter, and then that you had with me, I'm no longer honoring agreement. This is coming out of a man who all he talks about is honor. I want you to understand this. All he talks about is honor. I said, what are you talking about, man? So my children, they dropped their stuff. They're going into the academy. They're going to practice and stretch and everything to get ready for sparring. They're getting ready to get it down. Especially my young girl, my 14-year-old girl, she's ready to get it down. You know, that's how she does. She does it like that. So on that note, he said, I'm now charging $147. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. I'm thinking he's taking the price down. For each, I told my kids, I said, every one of you right now, get your stuff, let's go, right now. And before you know it, I snapped on it because I already knew what it was. But what I'm trying to show you is this. No matter, for some of you who have worked for a devil for 15 or 20 years, and he is giving you a bonus or he's giving you a raise, don't rely on these people. See, if I wasn't an independent guy, if I wasn't a true believer in God, if I did not take Elijah Muhammad's teaching seriously, I would have been hurt. I would have been crushed. I would have been feeling betrayed. You understand? But understanding the time and understanding who you're dealing with allows you, you know, to navigate these pitfalls. And if you don't have that now, and I'm just giving you an example of that, and while we were leaving the Cali instructor called, hey, you guys are coming, you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, see, when one want, one will. Yeah, we'll be there. We were already training. You see what I'm saying? You have to, what I'm trying to get to you have to understand who you are dealing with in this day and time, or it can be deadly. It can be a detriment, but it can also be deadly for the security of your life and the security of your family's life. We're living in a time where this man is losing everything. Now, I want to go back to something. The instructor of the academy, he's of Iranian descent, right? And I noticed that he would pose questions to me from time to time. I kept it to myself. And he was weighing, because he knew my name, and he was weighing on who I was. And I would answer him. And me, I'm a straightforward dude. I don't beat around the bush, especially when people are beating around the bush. First, I'll see where they're coming at. And then me, I just, hey, we don't, why are you asking that? Just ask me the question that you want to ask me. You know, that's how I am. And so he would ask me things. Then he would make references to the Shah. And he knew that he and I were on different sides because he would bash the Ayatollah, but he would praise the Shah. And this is where But I knew what I was dealing with. A lot of you know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the boss at work, when you're dealing with the political system, and then when somebody embraces you, you try to push that to the side and say, can't we all just get along? We're all the same until he or she reveals themselves to you, then you want to go all insane on people. You better wake up to the time that we're living in. So this little paragraph right here, we must know ourselves. Who are you? You are the Asiatic black man and woman. You're the makers. You're the owners. You're the cream of the planet Earth. You're the fathers and mothers of civilization. And you're the God of the universe. You've got to embrace that in everything that you do, think, and say. You've got to truly believe that. It's not idle words, idle chatter. And you've got to know who you are dealing with. When we say the white man is the devil, we're not trying to make him out to be something that he's not. Because a devil is anything that is grafted from the original. And when you grab something or you take things through stages, it loses something of the original. Right? I'm not telling you something out of the order of science. Whenever you take something that is original and you put it through scientific tests and stages, it loses, in every stage, it loses a little bit of itself in the testing. This is true. And so when we say that, we are telling you what science demands us to tell you. And so, I tell you, it's hard to get this through Jimmy Lunchmeat, because Jimmy Lunchmeat wants everybody to be the same. When he sees or when she sees that the system is set up against you, when she sees and he sees that the organizations and the institutions are set up against you, when he sees and she sees that every level of power and every instrument to dominate and progress is in the hands of a few, you cannot tell me that America is not designed and set up for the benefit of white people. You can't tell me that. You cannot tell me that the global financial order or the military order or the political order of the day is not set up to benefit white people and to promote their agendas and to dominate non-white people. There's absolutely no way you can sit in front of me with a straight face and acknowledge and don't acknowledge that this is the truth. There's no way. All we have to do is look at the power structure, and we look at the beneficiaries of the policy of the power structure. You understand? And then we look at the ones in the mud who have been hurt and exploited by the power structure, the system, and the policies of those who dominate the power structure. And anyone with common sense, and in these days, common sense is not so common, would have to come to a reasonable conclusion that we're not all equal in the eyes of their laws, in the eyes of their structure, not even in their educational system. Right? You get, and this is not confined to America. Go to Russia today. Read some of the articles that they publish. They are condemning people who are woke, and they're trying to justify whiteness and condemn blackness in a sly way. You go read the articles. So for those of you who are in love with Russia today, they're doing it. This is a worldwide endeavor to keep white as the dominant race, to keep white as the dominant power, to keep white with dominant influence. This is. And this is why the world is headed towards war and collapse. Because so few have ruled so many with such injustice that this cannot go on in perpetuity. That's not how it goes. Science tells you that. When there's a sickness or when there's a germ that is overtaking the original has options. Either allow the germ to take over when you and the germ will eventually die, or set off your defense mechanisms to kill the unoriginal germ so that you can return to your normal state of good health. Right here, right now, 347-989-0855. If what I'm saying is out of the realm of science, prove it. Huh? Be 347-989-0855. I'm telling you something that we can prove, we can point to, we can touch, we can taste, we can smell, we can see, we can feel. You feel the boot of your oppressor on your neck? I don't have to tell you that. You feel the injustice of his policies when you drive your car and the police get behind you? Right? You feel the injustice of his policies when you're down to your last dollar and you're looking for a job or you're looking for a loan to start your own business and they give every excuse for you not to get it. When someone of a lesser caliber, with lesser ideas, of a lesser color goes in and gets it. And then they are allowed to go forth and spread their ideas on the back of money that was given to them, right? While you are caught up in the urban community, stuck and frustrated. You've been robbed of your right to rule your house, black man. You don't even rule your own house no more. This was by design, to destroy the black family. The power was usurped from the black man and given to the black woman. Black woman, don't get mad at me. I got to tell the truth. It was usurped. And the black man is feeling so hurt and so desperate, he don't know which way to go. And so he lashes out in violence against his own kind. You know why he lashes out? That I hate that nigga over there. Every rap song, I'll kill a nigga. I'll kill a nigga. You don't hear him say, I'll kill that devil. I'll kill that oppressor. In every rap song, I'll kill that nigga. Man, look at me. I'll kill a nigga. That's what they say. Why? Because they are mimicking those who are in power over them. That's the mindset. That is the atmosphere of the day. So we're living in a reset now. That's why God is breaking the back of America. Why America first? Because America is the most dominant, the richest, and the most influential power on the globe. And when God breaks America down, it stands as a sign to all of other nations who may want to buck up against God's power. Because no nation was able to go one-on-one and jostle with the superpower. So if somebody brings it to her knees, you got to submit to that some power or somebody that has the power to bring that one who thought that she was the ultimate power to her knees. So we're looking at a reset, okay? I hope you are listening to me good, brothers and sisters, okay? Let me bring something to your attention before we go into a clip, okay? Okay. According to Google definition, the word reset means to set anew or set again or to start over, to make complete changes, right? This is what it means. So for centuries, the Western world has dominated, and they had one of the greatest schemes ever. I mean, it was one of the greatest schemes ever to preserve their wealth, because they know with wealth comes power. With power comes influence, right? And so if we are considered the wealthiest nations, we are considered the most powerful nations. If we're the most powerful nations, then we have the most influence, even though we are the minorities of the nation. So how do we do this? How do we set up a system that guarantees us this right here, this right? And then we can proclaim directly and indirectly that we are indispensable people in that indispensable nation. Well, how do you do that? Come up with a monetary scheme. Right? I can't, what was that saying? I care not who sits in the White House or whatever. What I care about is who prints the money. Right? That's where the power comes from. So what these white people did, in Europe has little to no resources. Right? America, she has resources, but none in comparison to the likes of Africa. So they needed a mammary gland to suck off, to suck the resources and the free labor. So they demonized these people, and they exploited these people, and exploited the lands of these people, and stole the wealth. Bro, I'm telling you, some of you need to sit down and just examine what I'm saying. Examine these things and tell me whether or not I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making one thing up. So they go in there. They know they really don't have nothing. Think about it. Let's go back to how they bought the state of New York, for instance, for $25. The state of New York. In these other lands, they knew the Indians couldn't speak the language. They wrote up documents in such a way to exploit the people. They handed them some paper. Paper. Nothing tangible, but paper. Then, because the Indians did not understand it, all they wanted was the John Hancock, and it was legalized under their laws. So the transfer of wealth and power and land took place. And then they robbed the Indians back of the $25 that they gave them. Through genocide, through warring. And you still, man, I'm telling you, you got to understand the beast that you're dealing with. That's why this is very important. We must know ourselves. We must know the nature of life. We must know the law of life before ever we can say that we are the masters, right? These people are succubuses. They are vampires. They are leeches. They are the exploiters of the people. And again, the monetary scheme, let's go back to this monetary scheme. So Africa has all these resources. So they go in and pretend like they're free, and they learn their walk, they learn to talk, they learn the lingo, they learn everything. They get amongst them, then they start killing them, robbing them, exploiting them, and making war on them. They learn their weaknesses. Then they go in and colonize the place. Take everything, then leave it. When they pull out and say, oh, you have independence now, they leave a remnant of their own people in control of 80 and 90% of the farmable land, of the greatest resources. If this is not a play on the people, you tell me what is. I'm talking to you. Talk back to me. You got to understand this. So they put up a paper scheme. Well, listen, we got trees infinitum. So let's get this tree printed, put some pretty ink and pretty art on it, and assign it a denomination, a value, even though it has no intrinsic value whatsoever. And we'll tell them what their resources are worth in our money scheme. And so we will give them what we think their stuff is worth. And if they buck up against us, we will sanction them. And that will make the paper that we give them worth nothing at all in our sight of everybody. And so now we have our money and the resources, and they have nothing. And so, and then the other scheme, they come up, hey, sell us this. We'll give you $40,000 for this. They give it to them. They take it back, refine it in Europe and America, and then sell it 100 times what they bought it for, keeping these people in poverty. There's a plague on the nations. Right? That's what colds and sicknesses and flus do to people. They set in on the people and rob them of their health and their wealth and their stamina. That's a prey on the people. Oh, man, I'm telling you. This is it here. They can't come. Listen to me. They're in such a condition financially. They're in such a condition politically. And now with the rise of military powers around the globe, specifically and especially the AEA man, they're in such a catch-22, that they know that we're living in a reset. It's something that I have an article. Maybe I'll get a chance to bring that article up. I hope it popped up on the Hirons 1555 blog. But on the Hirons 1555 blog, there's an article. I don't know if it's out right now or if it will come out. This U.S. guy, he talks about the situation of America. And Brother Rashid, I'll bring you in just a second. He talks about the financial situation of America, right? And he talks about China. And he says that time is on China's side, all right? That's what he says. Because he understands that America is saturated in debt. Her political system is imploding right in front of you. There's no agreement whatsoever. But this is part of the plague that would plague America for her dividing of the so-called American Negroes. She would suffer that too. God wanted to break her power to show her that as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. And you are not an exception to the rule that God laid out. I'm going to bring in Rashid, and while Rashid is talking to you, I'm going to see if I can find that article real quick, because I want to, and then I'm going to go into some, maybe a couple clips, and then I'll read a few things off these other articles, okay? So give me a second. Let me bring in Rashid. I got to say unto you, Rashid, As-salamu alaykum. You there? Brother Rashid. Brother Rashid.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you now. Hang up and call, try it again, because we can't hear you. The devil, see? This how it goes. I'll try to bring him back in a minute. But, again, a devil had did a writing, and he talked about the time is on China's side. If you would bear with me for a minute, let me see if I can find it real quick. Just give me a second, okay? Because I want you to see exactly what he wrote. Let's see. Give me 1 second. I know I have it. I don't think it posted on the Hiram 1555 blog yet. Let me go to the Hiram 1555 blog and see if I can pull it up real quick. I might have to go into my dashboard. But I want you, you know what I'll do? I'll play a clip. I'll play an economic clip. Or I'll try to bring Brother Rashid back in a second. And while he's talking on whether the clip is playing, right, I'll try to go and find it. Because I want you to hear what they are saying. Stuff that I've been telling you for almost 12 years on air. Right? Almost 12 years on the air I've been telling you these things. Now, see, this is how you find out whether somebody is right and worth their weight in what they say. You go back and you listen to them, the measure of their work throughout in its totality, right? So you have a log, a audio and video log on me for almost 12 years. Some of the stuff that is happening today, I was telling you to expect that 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Nobody before me, you had ever, never heard anybody talk about Libya and what was going to go down. You had some of you, I'm not talking about the brothers who I talked to behind closed doors. Some of you had never heard about what was going to happen in Syria or North Africa or the Middle East. Can you listen to this show? Because other people, they got it and they hid it. And some of them didn't understand it or believe it. But I believe what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said 100%. That's why I told it to you exactly the way it was told to me. And now you can point to the stuff and you can see it. That's how you weigh a person's weight in truth. Okay, now let me try to bring Rashid back in, see if they'll allow him to say something. Brother Rashid, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you good now.
Okay, brother.
Go ahead.
I was reminded what you were saying about the viruses that affect the nation. I have a tape with Minister John Shabazz back in the 60s talking that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches for every physical law, there's a spiritual counterpart, right?
That's right.
He says, like, muscular dystrophy, you know, is a disease that cannot control, you can't control your muscles or your joints. It might do anything at any time. And then the brother says, if that don't describe the so-called American Negro's mind, I give it up. It might do anything at any time.
Yeah.
But also I had another experience as you had with my brother Jimmy out here too. And we were getting some tapes up because we had a lot of tapes about Elijah Muhammad. We were going to Phoenix and get those tapes from Brother Reginald. And we found a place downtown Los Angeles where come to find out they were Muslims. And they were Iranian. And then Jimmy told them something because we were doing woodwork about the with the Ayatollahs, and the cat got mad at him. I said, Jimmy, why did you tell that guy anything? He could be an Iranian Jew. Come to find out he was one of the Charles people.
Yeah.
You see?
Yep.
So you got to know who you're talking to at all times. And you got to look on these people like you said. You are the original man, not them. I go back to what Minister Malcolm was saying about that on that tape that he was teaching out here in Los Angeles in 62. 62 or 63, something like that. Anyway, he was saying that they had a the UN had commissioned two African countries were getting their independence in the 60s, that the African countries were mad at the European countries for the way they had represented them in the UN and over the history. So they had to go and clarify some of that. And then they come across these two Muslim scholars in the 13th century who, Ali and another one, he traveled exclusively, they traveled exclusively throughout the known Muslim world in the 13th century. And they was studying people. Now, the Muslim world goes from Morocco on the east, I mean on the west of Africa, way over to the Philippines. And you have a whole swath of all different type of races, creeds, and colors, mixed up races. White nations up in Europe, Asian nation. You have all of it in there, and it's all of the people that they study. The black man of the Sudan. Sudan just means black. The black man of Africa were more concerned with justice than any other people on the planet. That the Amir won't stand for any wrongdoing. But the further away you get away from the original man, the more it's easy to see things your way and not see other people's point of view, you see? It's very easy to do that. If you are of a particular nation or whatever, you look on other people as not being human. They don't have rights. It's what is going on now. You see, brother? Are you there?
Yeah, brother, I'm listening to you.
Oh, brother, I thought you, you know, the way they cut us off, Ronnie, I thought they'd cut us off. that's what you have today, brother. You know, most of the people, the way you got to go back to, as the messenger said, to get peace on the planet, you got to have one group of people who have not have not been thinned out, right? You go to the different people. From one, he come from a black man. Like the messenger said, you take the characteristics have been changed. To the grafting process, he thought one way. But when he went through the grafting process and they took things out of him to make him another man, his characteristics changed.
That's right.
Black man don't think like the brown man. Brown man don't think like the yellow man. Yellow man don't think like the white man.
That's right.
And the further away you get away from the black nation, the quick to anger these people are. They love to break blood and shed blood. Like the man you said, you never had the black man running around the planet Earth murdering off people, whole nations and whole continents. Even the Chinese and them didn't do that. But you wait until you get to that white man. He come over here and steal America, claim it that is his. North America and South America, right?
While you're on it, let me cut you off for a minute because it brought something to mind. That's just like Britain and France and the Dutch people and all these other. They got all these territories over here in the Caribbean and off the coast of South and Central America, talking about these are British territories or these are French territories or dependencies. Here it is, you half a world away. And you stole this land and you still trying to perpetrate the fraud like you have the inherent right to rule these territories that belong to places like Argentina and Venezuela and all of these other nations.
I was listening to a tape with Honorable Elijah Muhammad yesterday, Baltimore, pouring blood, right? Built upon raping, robbing, and murdering. Everything he got that he claimed, he murdered off people in there. And then you run around talking about you an American. If you're an American, that means you have to take all of what the Americans done. You have to own up to it. Who in the hell want to be an American after you done killed off a continent of people? The law of justice say you got to be dealt with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You must mm-hmm. be dealt with. Back to what you were saying, they was talking about a few years ago, they had some land up in North Pole of Arctic, somewhere up there, and that ice has receded and had some land there that they hadn't seen, and then Russia and America claiming it.
Yeah.
That's mine. As the man, you say, none of the planet Earth belongs to him. He didn't. Did you make it? No. Well, you're in the creation of it. No.
That's right. And on that note, if y'all look, you can Google this, to show you how wicked America is, to show you how egotistical and narcissistic that America and the Western nations are. America has got together, I guess, 7 or 17 of the white nations or whatever, and now they're talking about they're coming together so that they can divvy up the moon, so that they have rights to the moon. Nobody else, just them.
Wait a minute, brother. They had a devil who was selling plots on Mars. He had a certificate that as soon as you get to Mars, you got this petula land. He can't. I'm not telling you how to get there now. You get there on your own. But when you get there, you got a certificate that says it's yours.
Yeah. That's their mind. I rule and I dictate everything. That's their mind.
Isn't that what Yaqub told us? You have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and over everything that walks and crawls on the earth. He was given dominion. But the catch is, he was given it by somebody. And now that somebody wants it back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be cut off. I was talking with Brother Walter the other day, and he was telling me that out of all that's going on, the only one who can see a change in worlds is the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those that follow the, not one of these deviants, not the cat that went inside the sun at night or living on the moon wherever he is, or had a conference on Mars.
Yeah.
The followers can see what is going on. Everything the messenger told us is taking place. Now, when the messenger was talking and teaching you all of these things, the people who did not believe it, they threw it out of their minds, got rid of it, didn't teach their children, and so now the black man is lost. But if you would have kept the messenger, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, this pandemic, it wouldn't be nothing for you, because the messenger teaches that's in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Teaches that the devil would put out a virus. It's in your scripture. And then Allah would come behind him and put out another
virus.
Would not cure. Well,
that's
right.
Would
not cure. Now, you see with the white man's pandemic or virus, it set down the whole entire white Australia, everybody locked up. What's going to happen when that other virus come down? That means nobody going to want to. The men say his virus, the Satan's virus, you cannot cure and going to kill off gobs of people. Now, what's going to take place? That means that your whole society going to take place. I mean, not come out. I've had people where I work at and were scared to come out of work for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they think the virus is going to get them. What's going to happen when that second virus come out?
That's right.
Shut down the white society. Nothing is going to be. No food. Once again, told us everything that was going to take place. And the people that took the messenger's words as a lie, they're going to be the first one to sit and catch the punishment.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And for those of you who are listening to us, we're just giving you the truth of the time. You can accept it or you can reject it. But this is it. We are living in the reset. This white man is telling you this left and right. Brother Rashid, I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to bring you back in. But I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to read the headline of this little short little article. I found it. And then while you were talking, I was looking for it. That's why I was quiet a little bit, because I was trying to watch the dashboard, watch the clipboard, watch the news scrolling across, and look for
As I said, brother, you know that they mute us and clip us off. You never know if you're talking to yourself or the phone and clipped out.
They even do it on the Red Bill Diaries, too. They do it. But a
I'm going to mute you real quick, brother, and then I'll bring you back up. So, brothers and sisters who are listening, this is the headline. This is from Bloomberg.com, and it's from the market news. And the headline is Dalio, talking about Ray Dalio. Dalio says time is on China's side in power struggle with U.S. Hold up. What were we telling you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us, right? That yellow man of Asia, right, was made to chase down this American white man in everything that he once dominated in, right? Didn't we tell you that? Haven't we been consistent in that? Billionaire investor Ray Dalio says time is on China's side in power struggle with U.S. And it's written by Hema Parma. And it says, Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio said China has an advantage over the U.S. on a range of issues. Time is on China's side, and it's not on the United States side. Stop right there. Why? Why is it not on the United States? I thought that she was the exceptional nation. I thought that she was the wealthiest nation. I thought she was the most influential nation. I thought she was the most powerful nation on earth. How is it that China is on China's side and not on the United States side when the United States is the greatest military power on the face of the globe? How? I'm asking you this. I pose these questions to you because others don't. How is it that time is on China's side? Because prophecy states this. Because the yellow man will be used to weaken and help break the white man so that that black man could rise back. So the time is against America. This is not 20 years ago. I often say this. This is not 30 years ago. This is not 40 years ago. And why is the time not on America's side as we move closer and closer to the end of the, what? 60 to not exceed what? 70-year grace period given to this. Why? Do you think that this stuff is by accident? Huh? Let's go into it again. Time is on China's side and it's not on the United States side. For various developments, Dalio said Monday in a conversation with New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman at the Milken Institute Global Conference. What's going to be a difficult situation in the new administration is destiny is on the side of China growing and doing better probably. Now, brothers and sisters, don't get mad at me, please. Please don't get mad at me. What did he just say? Did he say destiny? Well, I've been telling you prophecy says this, right? Right? So, let's go back to something. According to the dictionary, destiny means the events that will necessarily happen to a particular person or thing in the future. It is similar to future, fate, fortune, doom, lot, portion, due, nemesis, right? This is what one of the definitions is, right? So, let's go back and read that again. What's going to be a difficult situation in the new administration is destiny, right? How did China get this destiny, black man and black woman? God proclaimed it. A messenger pronounced it, and time is bringing it about. Is that not right? I'm asking you, is that not right? Destiny is on the side of China growing and doing better, probably. He noted how China's economy has rebounded faster during the pandemic than that of the U.S., and that the listing of hot companies on Chinese stock markets is attracting capital. He also said China's higher interest rates mean the nation is in a better position of not having to print money. In July, Dalio warned in a LinkedIn post that tensions between the U.S. and China could spiral into an armed conflict. Haven't we been telling y'all that? Huh? And when it does, if time is not on America's side and China has a destiny to rise, then who shall be victor and who shall be the loser? This confirms what we've been telling you for the longest. okay? In July, Dalio warned in a LinkedIn post that tensions between the U.S. and China could spiral into an armed conflict, saying there's usually an economic war before a shooting war. Later that month, he said the two nations may find themselves ensnared in a capital war that could hurt the dollar. He reiterated those views on Monday. You're going to see the internationalization of the renminbi. He's talking about the Chinese yuan, which was intentionally not developed before because it is a threat to the American world order, Dalio said. Now, he says, this year has been a rough one for Westport, Connecticut. He's talking about his financial firm now. But we read what we needed to read. We read. Is that not in line with what we've been telling you on this show for almost 12 years? I'm asking you this. So if we point to articles that are just coming out by the rich billionaires, which are giving confirmation to things that we've said almost 12 years ago, the weight of what we're saying, you got to measure it now. You got to say, huh, it's something to that. And if it's something to what we're saying, then it has to be something to the man who taught us what we're saying. You understand? This is it. We are living in the reset. Whether you like it or not, things are changing. We're in a total and complete universal change. I hope you understand this. I hope you understand this. So I want you to listen to this clip real quick. I want you to quickly listen to this clip. And this is from, I believe this is from Gregory Mannarino. And I'm going to play part of it. And I want you to pay close attention to what he's saying about America and our stock market.
Okay, everybody, it's me, Gregory Mannarino. This is my post-market wrap-up on this Friday. Lovely, a lovely Friday. Seriously, we've got a lot to talk about here, and I hope I don't blow my stack off. I'm going to say that right now. So, yeah, Friday, August 28, 2020. So what's the story? I almost don't know where to begin. I guess we'll start off with the stock market. New record highs for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Russell 2000 are still laggards here, but I would expect new record highs in short order. But we'll talk more about that in just a moment. The reason why I'm kind of like a little zany right now and I'm worried that I'm going to blow my stack off, just about 40 minutes ago, 40 freaking minutes ago, we had Fed President James Bullard on CNBC Live. He was conversing with the very nice man, Steve Leisman. Let me explain to you something about Steve Leisman in case you don't know already, and I think most of you do. With regard to the Federal Reserve, Steve Leisman has his face so far up the rear end of the Federal Reserve that they have merged into one. They have become one. I think sincerely when Steve there gets a chance to interview a Fed president, he probably has to put on, like, I don't know, some kind of a device so he doesn't, you know, spray his shorts on the camera. It's out of control. So anyway, what am I getting at here? So this man, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, said on live TV that the recession is over. The recession is over. Now, this can be taken several different ways. Does he mean that the recession is over and now we are in a depression? Because that's really the truth. Or does he mean the recession is over for the stock market, which is at new record highs? Because let's put this into perspective. We have tens of millions of people out of work here in the United States. 50% of small businesses are gone forever. They are not coming back. That says a lot to me. We have 41 million Americans right now fearful that they're going to be evicted. They cannot pay their bills. That's very sad to me. But according to, gets better than that. Not just Fed President James Bullard, but Larry Kudlow today also said very similar words here. We're out of recession. Do you buy that? Let's move a little further here. We understand, and this is no secret, our trade deficit and our fiscal deficits are exploding. I mean, exploding like we have never seen before in the history of our country. As a matter of fact, it gets better than that. Today, we just found out that the U.S. trade deficit skyrocketed almost another 12%. I think it was 11.9%, 11.7%. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as well. And I'm not putting down the beautiful president, okay? Beautiful. Our beautiful president said that tariffs, especially those that are on China, would narrow. It would help with the trade deficit. Actually, the polar opposite of that has occurred, and it's been going on. It's not just because of COVID-19. It's exploding. So, I mean, look, here's the deal. Anybody, and I mean anybody, who has an understanding of how tariffs work, that would be me, explain to you that this would never happen. I told you this would never happen and that these deficits would continue to explode. But no, of course, I got beat up. No, President Trump is smarter than you. He went to Wharton Business School, so he knows more than you, Greg. Duh. I guess not in this case, huh? No, it doesn't seem so. Anyway, so according to Fed President, what the hell's his name, Bullard and Larry Kudlow, recession is over. I really think they're joking with us. In other words, yeah, recession is over. We're in depression. We just got the largest drop with regard to GDP in history. Yeah, that can be blamed on this coronavirus fake scandemic that we are in here. But our economy is, we're dead. We have nothing going on here. And with regard to layoffs, more layoffs industry-wide are about to hit. Let's talk about that real quick. The airline industry, who already got one bailout, just yesterday is threatening if they don't get another bailout, they're going to lay off tens of thousands of more people. Does that sound like extortion to you? Are the American people being extorted here by the airline industry? How are people tolerating this? You know what? Because they don't say anything. They sit there and they expect the president to do something, Congress to do something. So you have to understand, the president and Congress, they do not work for you. The Democratic Party does not work for you. The Republican Party does not work for you. They work for Wall Street. Let's talk about Wall Street real quick, okay? New record highs for the stock market with an economy in collapse. We understand that. The Wall Street executives are expecting record high bonuses this year. Meanwhile, the American people here could not be worse off. We're literally in a depression. You have to understand that, and I think you do. With trade deficits and fiscal deficits literally at nightmare proportions. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, it should. Anyway, so the takeaway here is very simple. The disconnect between what's happening here on Main Street and Wall Street will continue to get worse, all right, as that two-tier society is manifesting itself here. And I really don't feel like that's fair. To a large degree, because this is engineered. This is being done by design. The entire scandemic has been done by design. Kill the economy, make people suffer on a scale of that they have not seen in their entire lifetime. But meanwhile, Wall Street, the corporations, the Wall Street banks will reap windfall profits. Does that sound normal to you? Is this how you want to live your life? Is this how you want your children to live their life? if that's so, then just continue with the status quo. Then obviously you should just be thrilled and happy and I guess hope everything is going to change, although it won't. It's going to get much worse for you no matter what freak is sitting in the White House. It just happens to be one with a very strange complexion. If it happens to be someone else, let's say in a few months from now, it won't change either. I hope you understand that. All right, let's go back to these markets real quick. New record highs like I explained to you. The dollar got decimated. The dollar is going to continue to get decimated. Now let me go back to the thing or the freak from the Federal Reserve, James Bullard. I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say because these are his words. He said the Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a long period of time. The Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a long period of time. What's missing from that statement? And why didn't Steve Leisman follow that up? See, what I would have said was, okay, so the Federal Reserve can tolerate higher inflation for a prolonged period of time. How are the American people going to deal with it, those that are already suffering? Are they going to be happy with higher inflation, Fed President Bullard? You see, Steve can't do that. And he also didn't follow up the comment about the recession is over. Why? Why do you think that happened or did not happen? Steve Leisman, maybe you, because I think you watch my blog, because we know a lot of the same people, Steve. Maybe they should turn you on to this and get your face maybe sucked out of the rear end of the Federal Reserve. But I know how much you want to climb in there. It's not just your face you want in there. You want your whole body in there. You really want to get in there deep. And I got it. I know that. But to me, it's revolting and it's disgusting. Let's cover a few more things here. Cryptocurrencies got their hype.
Economic meltdown and all this. This is what they are saying.
concerning the dollar. And always remember that Bloomberg article with Dalio saying that time is on China's side and talking about how China has a destiny, right? Goldman Sachs says, bet against the dollar on blue wave prospects and vaccine outlook. And in one article, Goldman Sachs was talking about selling your dollar positions. But I'm going to read the first paragraph or so on this, which goes hand in hand with their other article when they were saying their position is to short the dollar and to sell it. They were telling everybody, sell the dollar. Pick up yuan or your renminbis. But listen to what it says. Goldman Sachs analyst said they saw low odds for the most dollar positive outcome by the year end of the year. They named this as an electoral victory for President Trump, combined with the meaningful delay to vaccine progress. Goldman Sachs has recommended short positions against the dollar, arguing that the risks arising from vaccine trials, they're trying to use the vaccine trial as a justification when they know that it's the debt, right? But if they say all of this stuff, it can cause a stampede out of the dollar, causing a total collapse. So what they're saying is Goldman Sachs has recommended short positions against the U.S. dollar, arguing that the risks arising from vaccine trials and the U.S. elections are skewed to the downside for the greenback, right? So they're telling you to position yourself outside of the dollar. Did you ever think that you would hear this 15 or 20 years ago? This is what I'm asking you. These are companies that directly benefited from the influx of tax money and borrowed money out of the coffers of the lower and the middle income people, income people, and borrowing money from countries around the world. America printed money as a stopgap to their bankruptcy and gave it to them, right? On several occasions, on the books and off the books. And yet you hear them today saying, short the dollar. Why? Because they see something down the road that will bring the dollar to yield and to its heel. And what does that mean? See, you remember how I always tell you about connecting the dots? Because if you have a multitude of dots and you don't connect them, most times you don't get the bigger picture. So if the dollar is shorted, if the dollar gets hammered, if the renminbi is being internationalized, and you have heard from several investors that said they believe that the Chinese government has between 20 and 40,000 tons of gold that is not reported, including thousands of tons of silver that is not being reported, right? And you have these companies that are saying short the dollar. What do they see? Remember, if the dollar collapses, and it will, the inflation that America had exported around the globe will come back home as a tsunami, and it will make the 1930s look like child's play. And if this happens, and it will, what do you think happens to America's political clout globally? And how will she be able to finance? Not no 800 basis, not no 900 basis, not near 1,000 basis. You heard on one of my shows a few years ago where we directly read from a script from the Congress that was given by some of the military people from the Pentagon, which they stated when you include all of the logistical centers and training centers that America had, over 5,000 bases around the globe that gets missed in all of this. Over 5,000. What happens to those bases? What happens to her being able to fund her nuclear programs? What happens to her with all of her weapons research? What happens to these things? Because if you have no dollar to fund it, the empire implodes, and America's influence recedes, and America must pack up and come home because she can't fund her wars. She won't be able to fund her bases, her destabilization programs. She won't be able to fund her drone bombing programs. She won't be able to stay on this border and that border, causing instability and disillusionment. If the dollar falls, and when the dollar falls, because it will, these are the ramifications, right? Which leads to what? The fall of America. And why does it happen? Because we have a savior that has arrived. And he has given to us a clear message to the black man and woman of America. I don't think you get this. There's a connection here, the dots. This is it. We are most definitely living in the reset. And even Stevie Wonder can see it. I'm telling you these things. So let's go further, and I'll bring Brother Rashid back in just a second. Brother Rashid, raise your hand a second. As a matter of fact, if you raise your hand right now, I'll bring you in right before I hit this other clip, okay? Because I saw that you took your hand down for a minute, but if you raise your hand right now, I'll bring you right back in to let you comment before I play the clip. There we go. I'm going to bring the brother back in. You brothers and sisters, remember that this is it. We are living in a total reset. Rashid is getting ready to come on, but as I bring him on, I want to go back to something real quick, okay? Gregory Manorino talked about the Fed chair talking about we have left the recession. And then Greg made reference to, yeah, because we entered the depression. Well, the word that they like to steer away from is depression. In all of the media outlets, they always talk about the recession. But according to the dictionary, a recession is a decline in economic activity spread across the economy that lasts more than a few months. That's it. A depression is a more extreme economic downturn, right? And so when we look at that, and it lasts, it starts and lasts over years. So what happened in 2008? Where are we now? We are in 2020. Is this not a depression? I'm asking you these things because we're looking at their definitions and we're looking at their words and their writings. Huh? So keep that on your brain. Let me bring in Brother Rashid. There, Brother. Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well. There.
Brother, I didn't take my hand down. I was thrown off of you.
I digress.
Brother, getting back to what you were talking about, a depression, but no, what is coming is not a depression. It's a total collapse.
That's right.
Complete collapse of his power around the globe to do anything. Now, I'm out here where they're bringing in these ships and stuff on the West Coast. But what the men say when that happens, they're going to boycott it and not send him one suitcase full of anything. Nothing is going to come in. People don't understand what's getting ready to take place. The world that you know is going to soon be no more. You don't have no Walmarts and no JCPenney's and no Nordstrom. It's all finna collapse.
That's right.
Like I was listening to the messenger on that Baltimore tape, and he was talking about how Allah destroys civilization. He destroys them. He was talking about before the moon was, it was trillions of years of history before the moon was blown off, before that nut came along. And he said, before the moon came along, he goes on and talks about that our family was the first tribe, our family, to find the holy city of Mecca and discover that that was the best part of the planet at that time. Before that, the moon was the best part of the planet. Well, anyway, he goes on and teaches that before, after the deportation of the moon, the holy city of Mecca was, and in some place in the holy city of Mecca, there is a room or a library or whatever, and that the history that was went on so many thousand years before the moon was, it was placed in the book in this room. And that only 12 men, 12, can go in and read what their civilizations were once. That they have been removed and no one will ever know they ever existed except these 12 men. Well, this is what's getting ready to take place with America.
That's right.
They get removed and no one will, would the man say 20 years after you leave America, you won't even know that America ever existed. It'll be just like those trillions of years before the moon was blown off. Only a certain, and the man say only a certain, these 12 men can go in there and read up their history. And then he goes on and tells you why, how Allah destroys this mission. He takes down their library. He corrupts their educational system, brings it. And that's what's happening to America?
All over the country.
It is being brought down one step by step. And just like a man with cancer. He didn't know that he had cancer. Maybe once or twice. Next month, another again. Then by the time if he don't get it taken care of, by the time he realizes his whole body has been destroyed. Well, this is what happened with America. Her body is being destroyed bit by the Lord of the world, and her arrogance and her hubris cannot. But have you ever seen this devil, Conor McGregor, when at one of his fights?
Could you say that again?
Can you hear me?
Could you say that part again?
Conor McGregor at one of his fights, MMA fight.
Oh, yeah, McGregor, yeah.
Now,
that
is the very definition of arrogance and hubris. He prates around like a peacock. Boy, he is arrogant. And that's I'm the greatest. We are the richest country on the planet. How the hell can you be the richest country when you own more money than anybody on the planet? Me. He only thing he can serve with his own importance.
Yeah.
But when I, like you said, like you were saying, when Allah takes him down, brother, he is going to be, what the scriptures say, they will, the other nations around the world will remember her of her delicious trade that she once had. And only thing she can remember and see of that once mighty nation is the fires from her burning up to the heaven. That's it. Before I go right fast, I don't want to take up all your time, brother. As you were talking about China, Moon of Alabama got out an article they put out yesterday, and he was saying about the war going on with China, and he was saying that China don't start wars. Why should they start a war when they're winning? He said everything, you cannot economically, what do you call it, like what we said before, he's an economic behemoth. How in the world can you stop something like that? You got 1.5 billion people working in unison with one another. They work together. When China tells his people to stay in a house, what they had with the coronavirus, 750 million people, they said, stayed in. In America, it's only 330 million. China told 750 million people to stay inside, and they did. You didn't have nobody talking about, it's my right. I'm going to get my gun, my constitution. Didn't say one word. But over here with these devils over here, man, these hillbillies, these Joe Lunch buckets, my God, that's against my rights. I don't stand for that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll take over the village. That's also coming. With the woman trying to take over the Michigan government.
Yeah.
I was reading that the other day. The man said everybody gonna try to take it over and get something the way they want to have on their way they feel.
Oh, that's right, mother plane. That's mother plane all day long. People didn't understand why I read that so much to them, because I saw it coming. I saw this in the making with the bubbling up of tensions between black and white, the greater wealth divide, and the arrogance of these people when Donald Trump gets in the office. So I saw when the messenger talked about, matter of fact, brother, I'm going to read a piece of it. Brothers and sisters who are here, I have some things I have to do, but guess what? I'm going to push it to the side, and we're going to go over a little time because I want to play a couple clips. I want to talk to Brother Rashid a little bit, and I want to read it. Brother, I'm not going to even mute you. I just want you to hold on and listen. So this is what the messenger said when he talked about this situation. All right? So for those of you who may be mad, listen closer to what he says. What can we expect at the end of the war? Paradise or hell? See Bible, Daniel 9:26 and 27. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is like saying, do not expect healing ointment to be poured on the sore that has been made. You will not get healing ointment. Instead, you will get a worse sore. With trying to find a job for the unemployed soldiers who are returning from the war zone if they have a chance to return. This will be one of the worst headaches for the government that she has ever received. With unemployment mounting so fast, remember, we see this right now. It's happening right now. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. What you see in the streets, the protesting in the Antifa and the so-called Proud Boys. And everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part, to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Then they just try to kidnap the Michigan governor. Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been deprived of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live. Remember what Rusty said? Our freedoms that we used to have, the things that we were able to do once before. Right? That's what Rashid said, right? Is that not right? Rashid was just saying this to you all. He says, desolations. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedom and the privileges that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the midst. What Rashid was just saying to you, my rights, what I used to have, my rights, that's what they were saying, right? Brother, this is what you were talking about right here in the article that was published October 3rd, 1973, article number 3, and it's called The End of the War. That's what you were talking about, Rashid.
Now, what we are saying is this comes after the War of Armageddon. The War of Armageddon is to break the American military. She got a stranglehold on the planet Earth. You know, she can go in and slap Guatemala down, Nicaragua, slap them down and make them submit to her will. Right?
Right.
But she won't be able to do that at that time. It's going to break her down. And when she comes back, after that war in Europe comes back, then that's when that exactly what the message was talking about. They want to, this guy made us lose all of our prestige. And look at us now, and everybody laughing at us, and they're going to turn on the politicians. And then everybody going to want to set up a government on their own. All 50 states, I want to succeed. Everybody going to start succeeding all over the place. It is the breakup of America. He's going to get what he gave everybody else. It's going to be a terrible time, brother. Man, you say, don't
so it's going to be a beautiful time for us.
That's right. You're going to see a lot of people that whom you love caught up into this. You got people who have no – the leadership of the black man is as dead and as stinking as a doughnut. You got the so-called American Negro talking about voting and jobs. Wasn't that, if I'm not mistaken, Frederick Douglass was talking about?
Go ahead, black man.
Isn't that the definition of insanity? Trying to say the whole thing, getting the same result.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, that's 60, 70 years ago. Still talking about it today, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you come up with the Messy Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all. Well, they're the old bootlickers. But I'm saying you got the new crop of Negro leaders saying the same thing that Frederick Douglass said 100 and something years ago. It's still, you cannot get it in their mind that we need to take a different choice to make something happen in the benefit of our people. Still,
you know, brother, I'm going to come in and I'm going to say this to you. A big problem with that is because they don't see the white man. See, they don't see his civilization falling. They can't see that he won't forever be in power. They just be a part of that power structure.
Yeah, well, what you have is that's what the wisdom of Allah gives. A lot of these so-called, as you used to call, so-called followers of the messenger. That's their problem. Because they're not being guided by Allah. Allah is the one that guides us.
That's right.
Not you and yourself. You know, and like my mentor used to tell me, the messenger left everybody with the same wisdom. The messenger said he was going to get the two books. Show me any wisdom that these guys have independent of the messenger left. Now, going inside the sun at night, now that's some new teaching.
Brothers and sisters, listen, we're going to extend the show a few minutes because I do want to get to a few clips. Also, I want to say this while we're talking. Check me and Brother Rashid out tonight on the Red Pill Diaries. I don't know whether we're going to do this and stream it on Periscope, Twitch, and YouTube and Facebook. I don't know yet, or if it's just going to be a thank you and let our premium members on Patreon get it first and then put the video out thereafter. But I'm contemplating it. I just want to show appreciation for those who are Patreon members and those who are premium members on the Hiram's 1555 blog. All of you will get links if we do it like that. But if not, you'll get first access to it too. But go ahead, brother. Finish saying what you were saying.
No, yeah, well, this is what the messenger's teachings gives you an edge to see what's taking place. I often say, like Prophet Muhammad, and then I'm going to let you go and do your continue on with the show. Prophet Muhammad, 1,500 years ago, what Allah taught him was right and accurate. He's like a man in a valley on the top of a mountain and seeing a car in the down into in a valley ride, and you can, with a binocular, you can see wherever the car is going. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad puts you right next door to the, right in the seat next to the man who's driving the car. You know exactly what he's going to do because you're looking at it. And that's the difference between Prophet Muhammad and the messenger. The messenger comes in the time of the God of the resurrection, the one who is doing what Prophet Muhammad prophesied will come. And just because he was a black man, he was a so-called American Negro, everybody want to relegate him to nothinghood. But he was the last messenger of Allah. What did the man say? After me comes God and angels. There's no one coming after me to teach you nothing. The after me comes, God will send his executors to execute on their own God. So if you're looking for somebody that went inside the sun at night, or held a conference on Mars, a cue ball, or whatever it is, you are in a bad position. You are doomed. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. Good teaching, my brother. Now, this is it, brothers and sisters. I don't care. I've explained to you. We've read articles. We've done all of this stuff. But I want you to hear something, and I'm going to play a few clips. And the clips together that I'm going to play won't be 10 minutes, okay? All right? They won't be 10 minutes altogether. But I want you to hear the frustration in these people. You see how I played Gregory Manorino and the frustration in him, right? I want you to hear Mr. Gerald Celente. And I was listening to an interview he gave a day ago or so. Like, and so I immediately went back and looked at the video, and I said, let me download this, and I'll listen to it thoroughly, and then I'll cut it up because I want to share it with the people. Sometimes I want you to listen to words, but then sometimes I want you to listen to how the words are being conveyed. And listen to the frustration in the voice. Listen to the disappointment in the voice. Listen to the outrage. Because they know that the system is at its end. So I'm trying to get you to understand that this is it. You're in one moment of time that will be remembered forever. And this is the change of the world. We are living in the reset. I want you to listen closely. This is a 5-minute clip.
And when he was asked, when Jefferson Lynch is asked, he said, they're killing us. Talking about the government. He's talking about the system. They're killing us. I want you to pay close attention to this, all right?